Blog Talk Radio.
Good day. It is December the 17th, 12:30 a.m. Thursday, 2015, and you are now tuned into the Philosophy Show. My name is Thomas, and this is our 117th episode. Every Wednesday night, Thursday morning, 12:30 a.m., it's a half an hour show. It's a call-in show. Feel free to call in. Our guest call-in number is area code 646-929-1344. And today's episode is called Push and or Pull, The Truth Awakens, Republican Debate Review, December 2015. So the debate was on Tuesday night, and today's Wednesday night, so I'm after thinking about it for a day, get a chance to review this, and I had reviewed one of the previous Democrat debates some weeks ago, about a month or 2 months ago, and also, there's a couple other things we can talk about, some Star Wars, since that's also coming out very, very soon. It already has in some places. The Force Awakens, you know, Star Wars episode number 7. And we can talk about a couple other topics I had on mind. some news that's going on in Finland. And then also, did you know that how many people in the world don't have a nation, nationless people or a stateless nation, or groups of people that could be like a country, but are more of a nomads or something that they don't have a country per se. And then, of course, yes, we're going to get into some politics or whatever you'd like to. So there's just 27 minutes remaining. This is a 30-minute show. And if you want to call in again, that's area code 646-929-1444. Okay. And so, you know, maybe have a quote. I can have a quote of the day or conspiracy of the day. I haven't seen a Star Wars yet, but I haven't. One thing that I thought might have been a cool arc to the story. And, I have tried to look on some spoiler sites, actually. I don't mind seeing the spoilers. I mean, if it's a good movie, it's still going to be a good movie, regardless, right? I mean, some people read a whole book before they watch the movie. I guess that would be an ultimate spoiler, wouldn't it? Like, when you saw Lord of the Rings, if you read those books, you would have already known what it is. I guess I'm being a spoiler apologist here right now, but, and I'll also be this might make some people stop listening. A prequel apologist a little bit, too. I mean, my favorite one is, of course, episode 4, A New Hope, but, yeah, I think that one's definitely the best. I mean, Empire Strikes Back is great, too. Return of the Jedi got, I don't know, I think some ways could have been done a little bit better. I mean, if you look at Darth Vader in episode, 4, he looks like, I don't know, like a real space villain or something. But by episode 3, it looked a little more flashy and it looked a little more cheesy to me, honestly, a lot more plasticky as well. But I mean, who cares? I guess it's some outer space thing. But anyways, so to the debates, I mean, there's a lot of, there's, you know, 2-hour debates. And you had Trump right there in the center. And, you know, I like a lot of what he says, but then there's other things I don't like. And like, for instance, when he said he doesn't really know the consequences of closing down parts of the internet. And let's see. The no-fly list, he said he would consider banning gun purchases for people on the no-fly list. The problem I have with that is simply, you know, you have due process here in the United States, so you can't be convicted of something where you actually are punished before you have a trial. And there's about, what, 700,000 people I heard on the list. I don't know if that's a low number or a high number, but they can't think all of those people are should be on that list. There's been kids, there's been politicians, there's been people who work for the Department of Homeland Security, and there's been lots of people that shouldn't have been on it, and there seems like there's no recourse. You know, there shouldn't be a list like that. I mean, I'm not saying like the FBI shouldn't have people that they're watching and stuff, but, you know, this list doesn't seem constitutional at all, and I'm surprised it's not challenged. I mean, I'm surprised the ACLU doesn't talk about it more, or this is that's a huge violation of the Constitution. I mean, just all the due process things. And, I mean, that's a list. I mean, that's like Soviet Union list, where you lose rights to fly and to buy things that can defend yourself. And if you should be watched, you should just be watched. And that's another thing about the internet. People say, oh, it's bad that people show stupid things online. It is, in some sense, but that they show crimes. And yeah, if they're that stupid to put it up there to make themselves easy to catch, yes, that's what you want, actually, you know. When people go fishing, they don't use like a hook with just a hook to try to catch a fish. No, they put a lure on there. And so if people, yeah, I'm glad if someone commits a crime and, you know, and it's bad, it hurts someone else, and they put it online to brag about it or whatever, and if it makes them that much easier to catch and provides evidence for the crime, yay, we should actually keep letting, you know, those dumbass criminals keep doing it, right? I mean, that makes our job easier, unless we don't actually want to catch criminals and we just want to intrude everyone's lives. And, you know, gosh, it was a politics of fear. I mean, it was just fear, 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 fear. And that's what they're trying to do. I'm not saying they accomplished that, but, you know, you have nothing to fear but fear itself. I mean, no, we don't have to fear. That's a choice. We can just get out of the Middle East. If we just got out of the Middle East, pulled back, and let, you know, people are going to say, oh, what are we going to do about the oil? Well, the oil in Iraq and Syria, yeah, that is like a lot of oil, but there's plenty of oil elsewhere around, and just let them sell it on the market. And the terrorism would probably stop if we just stopped interfering in there. Either that, or we would have to do a Marshall Plan. Maybe the UN can pay for a Marshall Plan and not the U.S. It would be cost-effective, I bet. All the trillions of dollars we're spending on the wars, we spend like a quarter of that and put that into a Marshall Plan in the Middle East and create really do it with a lot of different nations and stuff, then that's the only solution. Otherwise, it's just going to be over and over and over and over and over and over again. And you just get sick and tired of it. We're wasting money. We need to get out. Someone needs to say that boldly. I'm surprised Rand Paul doesn't. I mean, it's a big blunder there, and we're just hurting. We're just like sticking our foot into an ant pile and just say, I'm going to stay here, and I'm just going to start, you know, pounding on these ants. Arr! I mean, we could do that, or we could just wash our foot off and leave. and repair the foot and give it a chance to regroup. And, you know, it's no loss. We're not saving face by staying there. And actually, we're showing that, hey, we have common sense, and it's really not hurting us not being there. And oil should set its market price anyways. I mean, you know, without us subsidizing it. And so because of this, we have what you call stateless nations. Like, yeah, the Kurds. I guess there is a place called Kurdistan, is there? Or is that even a... Because I Wikipedia'd stateless nation, and there's at least, like, wow, like 40, 50, maybe 50, like the Kurds. Let's do that. Kurd, Kuki people, Kuki, Kurdish. Wait a sec. Is there Kurds here? Kurdish? No. Let's see. There's a lot. There's a lot of different groups. Kurds, here it is. And they have a flag. And, yeah, it says 40 million in Iraq, Turkey, Iran, Armenia, and Syria. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 countries the Kurds kind of have the edges around. And was Kurdistan just in a movie, or is that actually is that? And then you could have, you know, the Palestinians, Kurdistan. Okay, let's see here. Or is this a made-up place, like someplace a long time ago, far, far away? It's something that they, you know, kind of have in their minds what they wish Kurdistan would be. But yes, Kurdistan actually is the combination of 3 or 4, 5 countries. And it's like in the middle of them. So kind of like landlocked too. And they have like a lake, but that's about it. That sucks to be landlocked like that. But you know, I guess Germany is, and some other countries are, so Kurdistan is actually not a, you know, like a UN recognized nation, I guess, because it isn't a property of some of the other countries. And they probably don't want to give those sections up. So, I mean, what do you think? I mean, should maybe they can negotiate that, or, I mean, that's what we should be, like, trying to help them negotiate things, Marshall Plan. I mean, if we actually spent the money as much as we have on war, if maybe half that, on actually rebuilding those places, that would work. I mean, what won't work is the middle. You have to either go fully one way or fully another way for it to work. Either get out of there completely, that will work, and that will save a lot of money, and we can focus on our country. And Donald Trump did say something akin to that, which I think that's a good thing. And Rand Paul said a lot of good things about protecting the Constitution. Ted Cruz did a little bit as well, actually. You know, Kasich was, you know, he was like, had this thing with his hands. I don't know. He's explaining this a little, I don't know, over the top a little bit, but he, like, his hand gestures while he's talking on the podium. It's like he was like break, like Mr. Roboto or something. Like someone could make, yeah, like a funny rap out of that or something, probably. So the Kurdistan, that's a place like someplace in Star Wars. Like, it's in some people's hopes and aspirations. And they see it as a property, like, hey, here's my picture of the map. This is my reality, and can you make it yours as well? Right now, it's just a novel and a story, although some people recognize it. Who's to say it doesn't? Just like, have you ever seen those upside-down maps where, you know, Antarctica is at the north? And, I mean, so... Yes, conspiracy thing. Antarctica, that was the old Atlantis, or that there's something special underneath all that ice and in those rock in that rocky terrain. But so you know, Finland. Oh, who else was in the debate? Yeah, I mean, besides that, the thing about Trump is the things I don't like about, like, wanting to censor part of the internet, using a no-fly list. He also said that anyone who kills a cop should be executed, and he'll make sure that they are by executive order or something like that. I mean, that is a little fascistic to try to give, like, the ruling class, the enforcing class arm of the government, like, an extra punishment if someone hurts them as opposed to us. Yeah, I would, you know, I'm not, I think if someone is found guilty after a fair trial, and I don't know if we can trust the government to give always a completely partial, objective trial where the goal is set to find the truth. And I mean, I'm sure that exists. I would like to think that's the majority. I don't know. I mean, do we know? That's why some people are against the death penalty, because there have been a lot of mistrials. It's not that fundamentally would be against the death penalty. I mean, maybe if someone, like, admits to it and they're not, like, you know, mentally messed up, retard-like or anything like that. Yeah, I mean, it's I have no problem with punishing someone to the fullest within the, you know, no cruel and unusual punishment, but, you know, to the fullest. I mean, some people seems like they should be executed, and but I think everyone should have the equal law, and so, you know, it's kind of like police lives matter, you know, instead of Black Lives Matter. And so all lives should matter, definitely. Black lives, police lives, citizens, all you citizens, that big majority of 300 million citizens, over 60% armed. Oh, my goodness. We'll never control them. I mean, that's why I don't like the no-fly list, because that probably does put some fear in the hearts of politicians. Like, you know, you could be sitting in the White House, like, looking down at everyone and just know that more than 60% of them, you know, have a AR-15 and shotgun, you know, 357 Magnum. And, you know, I mean, they don't want this country to turn into a dictatorship. And, yeah, that does show a little bit of political weight, I think, towards freedom. And I do think that there's serious underlying root problems to society, you know, and empathy. Because what can you expect of a society that doesn't know the difference of all the wars overseas and the unjust killings? We're not defending our country over there, unless if we think oil is defending the country. Some people could make an argument for that, but at least be honest about it. And some people have, but, you know, I don't think it would really hurt the market too much. I mean, we could, you know, I have no problem with sending some special forces in and stuff. I mean, that's probably all we need over there to. And we should either build a Marshall Plan or get out. Again, if we're trying stuff in the middle, then we're just experimenting and playing around. This is, like, really a lab test. Like, the military has one big laboratory. It's called the Middle East. It's where they can play around, and it's like their virtual reality game. They're Star Wars for real. And that's what they're doing. They're playing Empire. Like, they have it totally mapped out, surrounded, gridded, every section in the air is gridded in a, you know, three-dimensional cubic way, and a pressure of a button can destroy any, like, 1 foot by 1 foot box within that, you know, Middle Eastern crescent dome. And so it's like a video game, literally. And we have it mapped out. And so Donald Trump is saying, trust me. Yeah. Yeah, trust you with our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. And, you know, you promise you're not going to use executive orders like Obama did? I mean, can you make a pledge to that? I know he's pledging, you know, on other things like not running as a third party. Now, I do think, you know, if he would pledge to something like that, that would help in the decision making. It's possible he's just playing the base, and in the general election, he's going to be a lot more moderate. And I'm not saying that makes me feel any more trustworthy of his intentions at all. I wish Rand Paul would, you know, just keep plugging in. He needs to just go street by street in Iowa, just door to door all the time, just keep working. And saying it from a position of strength, he could learn a lot from Donald Trump. In fact, Rand Paul, what his job should be is to watch Donald Trump videos for like a week, and then, you know, just think back, you know, and just turn it all around and really focus on your vision as well. Like three main things, the most just things, not the necessarily the most profitable, although it could tie into that, but just three powerful emotional things that are for real, that aren't like half like, you know, bought out conservative and half good conservative things, but real like privacy, the Bill of Rights, something saving trillions of dollars from overseas, saying we're with you. Either the Congress is going to fund a full Marshall Plan, or we're just going to save our time and resources and get out of there and focus on this country and rebuild it. You know, make America great again, and have better trade negotiations. Why not? Trade is always a good thing. You could build. I mean, do you support NAFTA and this TPP, or did you vote against it? And if you did, are you champion that? Champion the populist movements in the Republican Party from that side of it, and from logic and reason, and you know what you're supposed to be about. Anyways, we only have like 7 minutes remaining. So what else? So we covered a couple things, criticisms, pros and cons of Trump, stateless nations. And there's like, you know, I don't know, at least 30 groups, I believe, of stateless nations around the world. You know, I read a story the other day about this girl that like lives in, I forgot, Venezuela or Ecuador or something, and her parents were born in Haiti, but she was born in like that other country. She's had a high school diploma, but now she's not able to attend college or something because their government considers her stateless, so she's stuck. She can't go anywhere. She can't stay with having, you know, so hopefully someone helps someone like that. But at the same time, it's just interesting. There's people who are actually kind of anarchy, I guess, in some kind of way. It's interesting. It's very, very interesting. But I'm not saying I've had lots of different shows on that, and I had a state, or I've had a lot of different shows on stuff like that. You know, Finland has, I think they're passing through now, a guaranteed annual income. I think it's like 800 euros or 400 euros a month or something. I don't know, but check into that, Finland's guaranteed annual income. They say it would just save more money than having the whole welfare system be a more investment into the economy, and it would work. Could probably get a lot of rid of a lot of rules, regulations, programs, and then just have a guaranteed annual income, I think. some kind of minimum standard that's like invests into the economy where it trickles up instead of trickles down from the people to the banks instead of from the banks to the people. And so what else? Here, I have some notes here. Yeah, and I saw another story about a Canadian soldier who's like voluntarily going to Kurdistan to fight there for the Kurds. Like, I guess he retired from the military or something, or his time was done at that point, and he paid like $3,000 to get the equipment or more, and a couple of them, and more than a couple, and they're like a volunteer North American militia that went to Kurdistan to voluntarily fight for the right of the people to have a country there. That's amazing. So I'm sure there's Americans doing that as well, but you know, they're just kind of there as a truth freedom fighters or something, but it's pretty interesting. And so, you know, supply and demand, that will be another episode. That sounds interesting. So, you know, people who only care about the means, like some make the arguments about gun control where, like, you know, I don't care what people's motivations are, just their means, their guns. They just take away all guns and we won't have any gun problems. Forget about the motivations. Well, what that means is you're punishing the overwhelming majority, at least 98%, I would say, if not 99%, for something that not even 1%, probably like 1% of 1% of 1% of 1%, I mean, of even 1% of that, maybe. So there does have to be things that can be done. I do think mental health issues is a major thing, and the economy is a major thing, and also age. Maybe there is an argument for some weapons for some ages. I mean, we do have age restrictions now, but you know, maybe better education system. Yeah, I think that has the most impact. And we're hypocritical. If we can expect to fight the wars the way we do for profit and greed or whatever, and not expect violence to occur in our same society by the philosophical things that we justify without a full debate, then, you know, how can we ever expect here to be sound? And may the force be with you. And let me give you a quote. Made a quote. This is actually from the Bible, John 1:4-18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And so that's the quote of the week. Anyways, we have 60 seconds. If you want to call in and just say something at the very end here, feel free to. All right. I'll wish you a good week and more. And so thanks for listening to the Philosophy Show. And may the force be with you.
Clouds, they were rolling through the sky, and they brought down all the rain. And there was a puddle that became a pond as it gathered up so much rain. Little seed close by grew into a tree as it soaked up so much rain.